Now we're turning to Luke chapter 18, and it says in verse 9 that he spake. What a marvel. God speaks to sinners. He spake. This is God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus. He spake this parable, this story, to teach us and these the way of salvation through Christ Jesus alone. That is the object of every parable and all of Scripture, is to show us the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. Not to satisfy our curiosity, not to answer those difficult questions, but simply all the parables and the whole body of Scripture is given to us to show us how God saves sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him. And He spake this parable unto certain, now watch this, who trusted themselves. What a dangerous thing it is to trust yourself for salvation. Now you think about that statement. He spake this to those Pharisees, those self-righteous Jews who were so convinced. Were they sincere? Oh yeah, I don't doubt their sincerity. They were so convinced that salvation was conditioned upon them. When Pilate brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ and declared, "Behold your king," you remember what they said? "We don't have a king. We have no king but Caesar. As far as this Jesus of Nazareth is concerned, you crucify him, you get him out of the way. We need no Savior, especially that one standing there." He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. You remember that scripture from Jeremiah 17, what it says about those who trust themselves? That's a cursed man. That's a cursed man. You wouldn't want to put all of your trust in that which God says is sinful and wicked and corrupt. Would you trust that? Only a fool. Only a fool would trust himself for salvation. That's why our Lord and all of Scripture comes down so hard on those who insist upon being saved by what they do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saved us. No wonder Paul said of those Jews, his own people, his own Jewish family, he said they were ignorant of God and they were going about to establish their own righteousness and have not and would not submit themselves, bow and receive the righteousness which is of God in Christ. And then we call that imputed righteousness in Christ Jesus. So it's a dangerous thing to try. It's deadly, damning to your soul to trust yourselves for salvation. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and this is what it leads to. It leads to those who think they are good, it leads those who are self-righteous in themselves to despise everyone else. And that's what self-righteousness leads to. Now the Lord here in this parable, in verse 10, two men went to the temple to pray. Two men went to worship. Two men went to a service. Two men that are scribed, one very proud, and he brags on himself, and he says, "I thank God I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the other, and I'm certainly not like that man over there. I'm just a little bit better." Well, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The two men here are described, one a very proud Pharisee who despised others, and he despised God, even though he mentions God in his prayer, but he prayed with himself. He bragged on himself and just barely mentions the name of God. The other here that the Lord mentions is this publican, down in verse 13. The publican standing afar off. What a contrast. What a contrast between this proud, arrogant, self-centered Pharisee And one who had been humbled by the grace of God, this publican. And our Lord said that this man would even not so much lift up his eyes, but he hid upon his breast in conviction of his sin and conviction of his guilt. And he cries out, God, have mercy upon me. Two vital things that he mentions in that cry, sin and mercy. Sin and mercy. And that's the cry of my heart. I hope we can never, and I hope we never graduate above being a sinner saved by God's sovereign saving mercy in Christ Jesus. I never want to get above that. Never. It's always a sinner saved by grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came to save the ungodly. He came to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. Now listen to this statement. All men are either one or the other. You think about that now. All men, and that includes women too, all people are either one or the other. They're either a proud, arrogant Pharisee, or they're a stripped sinner seeking for mercy. One or the other. Amen. One or the other. Every man by nature is proud and arrogant and self-righteous. And it's only by the grace of God that a man knows himself to be a sinner in need of mercy. All men are either one or the other. Every man by his sinful nature, even though it's depraved and wicked, and it's so depraved and wicked that he thinks he's good. How depraved is that? That's pretty depraved. And those who seek salvation upon their deeds certainly are in big trouble. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men, God says it's abomination in my sight. And surely anything I can bring or anything I can produce, even though it may look good unto men and may be commendable unto men, what is that toward God? All of our righteousnesses, plural, filthy rags in God's sight. Those who seek salvation upon their work. Solomon described them this way. Proverbs 14. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death, death, death. Every sinner who seeks salvation totally on the deed, merit, and righteousness of another, the blood sacrifice of another, Christ alone, is likened to this publican, a sinner saved by God's grace. Now, which one are you? Which one do you consider yourself? You consider yourself pretty good? Salvation is not for good folks. Salvation is for sinners. Salvation for the ungodly. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I have to tell Paul, I had to nudge him over just a little bit, say, Paul, I'm the cheap one. I'm the cheap offender. Have you ever considered yourself sinful before God? Well, if you do, and if you are, you're a blessed person. You're a blessed person. Salvation's for sinners. I take my place as a mercy beggar at the throne of God's grace and beg for mercy. I've never, ever seen a mercy beggar turned away. I read this morning from Micah chapter 7 that our God delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy to sinners. Sinners. I'd cry for mercy if I were a guilty sinner. And that's what I do by His grace each day. Now, two parts to this message of grace we see in this parable. We see the publican's confession in verse 13. And then we see in verse 14 the publican's justification. His justification. The publican's confession. I'm a sinner. God be merciful to me, this sinner. And then the publican's justification. Our Lord said this man went down to his house justified. Justified. Rather than that other man. Justified. Cleared of all guilt. Before God Almighty. Justified. Just as if you never sinned. justified, declared righteous in the sight of God. And that by the grace of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at these two things. The publican, or the sinner's confession. He made a full heart confession of his sin to God. Notice he said, God. Not daddy, I've sinned. Not mama, I've sinned. Not preacher, I've sinned. Not certainly the pope or the priest, but our confessions unto God. God. We read that in Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Notice to whom the confession was made. God, be merciful to me. To me. He didn't go to the priest, the preacher, or the church. He went directly to the only one who knew all his problem, the one against whom he had sinned, and the only one who had all power to forgive sin. As David prayed, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, Lord, blot out my sin. He prayed that. Blot out my sin. His confession was secret. He smote upon his breast. He stood afar off. His confession was secret because he knew that God looked on his heart. He said, Lord, you know my heart. He smote his breast. He said, you know my heart. You know my need. His confession was spontaneous. Cried unto the Lord. He cried out of his need. It wasn't come forward and let's pray the sinner's prayer. It was a spontaneous cry. No one needed to lead this man in prayer. He cried out from the heart, God, have mercy on me. I'm the sinner. And I tell you, if God ever convicts you of your sin, shows you what you are in the light of His bright holiness, you'll cry for mercy. You'll sue for mercy. And flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in Him. Notice to whom the confession was made unto God. Secondly, what did he confess? He confessed, I'm the sinner. I'm the definite article. As if to say, he was thinking, there's no one as bad as I am. I'm the chief offender. And certainly, I think everyone that's convicted of sin by God the Holy Spirit will have to say, there's none as vile as me. There's none as vile as me. If you knew how vile I am and what I am, you probably wouldn't listen to me anymore because I'm a guilty sinner. I'm a guilty sinner. What did he confess? He said, I'm a sinner. We are by nature, by birth, in heart, before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But now if I knew you like you know yourself, I probably wouldn't have anything to do with you. You see, we're sinful through and through. But aren't you glad that God has said in His book the salvation for sinners? That's the very reason the Lord came. He didn't come to call good folks. The well don't need a physician. You remember the Pharisees were upset and those around the Lord and said, why does your master eat with these publicans and sinners? That's disgusting to us. He said, oh, well, you know, the well don't need a physician as those who were sick. Will you go learning what this means? I have mercy. I'll have mercy, not sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. Well, let me ask you this question. Does God hear the prayer of a sinner? Does God hear the cry of a sinner? He doesn't hear any other. I guarantee you he didn't hear the prayer of this publican who bragged, or this Pharisee who bragged on himself. Does God hear the prayers of sinners? He doesn't hear any other cry but that of a sinner. That of a sinner. No other. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The only claim we have to mercy. Now you think about this. The only claim that we have to mercy is the fact that we're guilty. The only claim for mercy is the fact that we're sinners. And aren't you glad that God said He saved sinners? He delights to show mercy to such as we are. Your nakedness and guilt
is our only hope of His covering. That's right. Your hunger is the only hope for the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're hungry, your thirst is the only hope for water. Oh, everyone that's thirsty, our Lord said, come to me and drink. Your poverty is the only hope for His abundant riches of His grace. Your poverty. Your emptiness is the only hope to be filled with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. In Him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and in Him you are complete. You are complete. Thirdly, how did the sinner approach God? How did this man, this publican, how did he approach God? Humbly. Humbly. He didn't move up to the front of the room like this Pharisee did and prayed to be. You remember our Lord said they prayed long prayers and stood on the corner to be seen of men? We're coming up pretty soon on what they call that National Day of Prayer, where they... And I'm not against prayer, but I'm against prayer to be seen of men. I'm against it. I always get phone calls from the schools about that time of year and asking me to come down and participate in the National Day of Prayer, where all the children can hold hands around the flagpole and look awful pious and self-righteous. I'm against that. That's just nothing more than an exercise of self-righteousness. That's all it is. Be done with it. And I wouldn't have anything to do with it. If I were in school, I'd advise my children not to participate. And the preacher would probably have a hard time from the community, but they pretty much well try to ignore me or say to others that I'm a nobody, and I am. I'm a voice. That's like John. John, who are you? I'm a nobody. I'm a voice, one crying in the wilderness, but I've got God's message. I've got God's servant. I've got God's message and a servant of the Lord with God's message. How did this sinner approach God? Humbly. He stood afar off. He stood afar off. He felt His guilt. You see, our sin has separated us from God. He would not even lift up His eyes. He was so brokenhearted with guilt. Our Lord's nigh unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And He smote upon His breast, on His chest, and with a cry of guilt, I've got a guilty heart. A guilty heart. For what reason did He hope for mercy? What reason did He hope to receive mercy? Now watch, this is key. Look back at verse 13 of Luke 18. This is key. Upon what reason did this man hope to receive mercy? Now remember, this is a parable given by the Lord who knows all things, who is the way of salvation. And our Lord said, this publican said, God be my sacrifice. That word there, mercy, is where we get mercy, merciful. Be my mercy seat, or be my propitiation, be my sacrifice unto God. That's what he's saying here. Upon what reason did he hope to receive mercy? Upon the sacrifice of Christ. That's it. And that's the only reason for salvation, the only reason for mercy, upon the mercy seat. Christ our propitiation. Here in His love, John said, not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son in the fullness of time to be our propitiation. And it's a big, complicated word, and I don't know how to spell it, but I know what it means. It means salvation and atonement and sacrifice for sin in Christ Jesus is enough. God provided it, and God will accept it. That which He provides, He will accept. Christ is my mercy seat. He is my sacrifice for sin. All of it. And upon that ground alone, all my hope, forgiveness, pardon, salvation. God is only merciful to sinners in Christ Jesus. He set Him forth, it says in Romans chapter 3. He set Him forth to be that mercy seat, that sacrifice for sin, that He might be just and justify the ungodly. Only in Christ. That's why he said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Upon what ground? Upon Christ, our mercy seat. And it goes all the way back to that day of atonement when the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. God said, that's where I will meet with sinners, upon that blood-covered mercy seat. Propitiation, satisfaction in Christ Jesus. I trust by God's grace, by the grace of God, that we can take our place by His grace as this publican and cry unto God this plea of mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. That's a good plea. And I cry that way every day. Lord, have mercy upon me. Secondly, that's the sinner's cry. Secondly, then the sinner's confession. Secondly, we see the sinner's justification in verse 14. I tell you. Now, who's speaking here? Who's speaking here? I tell you, the Master, the Lord, of the Lord of heaven and earth. He says, I'm going to tell you something. Now, we ought to listen. If He's going to tell us something, we ought to listen. It's worth our time. Be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath. I tell you something. This man, upon the ground of the mercy seat and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this man went home justified. Justified. Cleared of all guilt, all of his sin put away, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased. And those that are humbled by the grace of God, He shall exalt. The sinner's justification. He received full, free, eternal justification from God. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justified. It is Christ who died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us, seeing He ever lives to intercede for us. Notice this carefully. The Pharisee justified himself. The Pharisee justified himself. God, I thank you. I thank you. I'm not like that man. The Pharisee justified himself and was condemned. The publican condemned himself and was justified. Oh, what a miracle of grace. The publican condemned himself, and God said he was justified. My friend, this is a way of grace. This is a way of grace. You see, the way up is not up. The way up is down. Down, humbled, in the dust. As Brother Scott Richardson used to say, make your headquarters in the dust. And beg for mercy at His throne. The way up is down, humbled in the dust at His throne. One must be stripped by God before He's clothed. One must be slain, convicted before He's healed. And aren't you glad that sword of the gospel is a two-edged sword, quick and powerful? It operates, it cuts, and then it heals. It heals. Now, three things here. In Christ Jesus, through Him, there is complete pardon from all sin. Complete pardon from all sin. In Psalm 103, He said, as far as the east is from the west, have I separated you from your sin. In Isaiah 38, He said, let's turn over there. Isaiah 38, Hezekiah prayed this way. In verse 17, Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins. Now you get a hold of that. How complete is the blood atonement of Christ? Look what it says there. From the pit of corruption you delivered me, redeemed me, deliver them from going down the pit. I've found a ransom, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Behind thy back. Where is that? Well, into the depths of the sea. He said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Justification is of God in Christ. Now listen to this. Hawker said this. Justification is of God in Christ, therefore the self-condemned, not the self-righteous, find justification before God. The self-condemned, not the self-righteous, find justification before God in Christ Jesus. Secondly, in Christ Jesus, sinners are justified justly. They're justified justly. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. They're justified justly. You see, He is a just God and Savior. He's not going to pardon my sin and forgive my sin at the expense of His holiness, at the expense of His justice. It must be in such a way that's honoring to His law, honoring to His justice, and yet magnified to His mercy. And that's only in Christ Jesus. Look what He says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. He, in Christ Jesus, God Almighty, in Christ, sinners are justified justly, not apart from God's law being honored and not apart from God's law being satisfied. That's the very reason the Lord Jesus Christ came. It's mercy upon the law being satisfied. It's mercy upon God's justice being honored in Christ Jesus. Thirdly, in the Lord Jesus Christ, sinners are made to know in their heart before God, in their conscience, that the blood atonement of Christ is all our peace before God. He makes us to know it. Turn to Hebrews 9. He makes us to know it in our heart, in our conscience before God. Hebrews 9. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, and ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, now watch this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works. What is dead works? Everything apart from Christ. Self-righteousness. Purge yourself from dead works to serve the living God. Your conscience purged from dead works to serve the living God. In Christ Jesus, sinners are made to know in their heart before God, in their conscience, the blood atonement of Christ is enough. Is enough. He's all our peace before God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back to the text again. I tell you, the Lord says, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you what I done told you. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. God has firmly promised that all that come to Him upon the blood and righteousness and merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will abundantly save and abundantly keep. That's safe ground. That's good ground. In Christ Jesus. And it's the only ground for salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Hebrews 7:25. And He's able to keep. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. God, be merciful. I'm the sinner. I'm the one, I'm the guilty one, I'm the offender. Have mercy upon me. I pray we will, every one of us, go home to our house today as a mercy beggar, justified in Christ Jesus. And may our continual cry be, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, before God. You see, mercy, mercy, mercy. Don't turn. Let me just read this to you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is of His mercy only. Our mercy, Lord's mercy in Christ. Because His compassions do not fail. His love does not fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. This is from Lamentation 3, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. Quietly wait. For what? For the salvation that's of the Lord. That's the message of this book. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, I pray the Lord will bless that and honor it to His glory and cause us to seek mercy. You know, it's wise. It is wise to seek mercy where mercy's found. There's no mercy in the law. You seek mercy upon the ground of the law, you're going to be cursed. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. But to seek mercy on the basis of Christ alone, to seek mercy where mercy's found, I tell you, that's the gift of God. That's the gift of God.